this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Extraordinary worship, such a blessing, isn't it? I'm so thankful for all those who contribute to each service, you know, from our production team, our worship teams, people setting up, sorry if I've forgotten, and kids, workers, youth, you know who you are, but just so grateful because that's what makes church happen, the team working together. I'd just like to thank your amazing pastors, Pastor Chris and Ruth, for inviting me here. It is such an honour. I was in their Connect group when we first got saved over 36 years ago and went to new Christians classes. Ruth was there and it was funny because at the time she said, oh, we've got Connect group on Thursdays, and I had something still secular on a Thursday night, and I said, oh, I've got that. And she kind of gave me that look, which I've come to know is like, well, that's got an end to it. I think she was praying, because like within 3 weeks we're in Connect group, Joe and Martin Gooding, and that's where we learned about healing and about faith. So I am eternally grateful to these guys and just so thankful that they've held the message for all those years. And all through your church life, they've held strong in faith. They are amazing pastors. They love you dearly. They speak so highly of you. So how about we honour them for the amazing leaders that they are? Thank you. Yeah. So very, very grateful. And thank you, church. It's an honour to share with you today. Like I said, your pastor speaks so highly of you, and I know that you are really well-versed in the scriptures, so it's just a real privilege to be here. Pastor Ruth said, you know, I've got a couple of books there. One of them is my own journey of healing that bounced out of that, and the teaching used to do in Bible college where the Lord showed me how to shift from that frustrating place of believing in healing but not experiencing it. I don't know if anyone's been in there, but I just felt like, you know, he just really took me on a journey teaching me on how to actualize healing, how to experience it. And so the first book, A Picture of Health, is written around that. The second one, which was released this year, The Lord Who Heals You, came out of the 10 years that we did the healing service. So it's the scriptures, it's the testimonies of scripture, all the stories through the Bible, but also earthed in a pastoral way so you can walk it out. So my testimony, basically, I had been sick most of my life. I'd missed a lot of school. I had struggled with health issues up to the point where I received Jesus when I was 25 years old, and everything was immediately healed. And I had been really ill, and I was also healed from a back injury that I'd had for years from a horse riding accident. I couldn't turn my head. I had migraines for years, and it was all instantly healed. Turn up to Connect Group, you hear about healing, you go, this healing stuff, it's so easy. Isn't it? It's so good, isn't it? You just, you know, you get a symptom, you pray, it just goes. And then 9 months into our salvation journey, we just got married, and I came down with a serious autoimmune disease. And in the journey, we were told that it would be impossible for three reasons why we couldn't have children. And suddenly, it wasn't happening instantly. And this is our frustration. Some healings happen immediately. I love those ones. Most of them, even the top ministries, I don't know where they get the stats from, they reckon 80% of them are walking it out with the word and prayer. It's pushing in. And that's kind of encouraging and discouraging at the same time. It's discouraging because I really wanted it immediately, but it's encouraging that the answer is still yes. If you're walking this journey, the answer is still yes. Jesus has provided healing for our spirit, soul, and body. Every single person through the work of the cross. The answer is always yes. And we don't always understand why. Some is instant, some's a journey, some has eluded the most faith-filled people, and we don't understand why. But the answer is still yes. And if you've been walking on this journey a long time, that frustrating journey, I just want to commend you for your faith, because you're standing against contrary circumstances and you do have faith, and God sees it and he honors it. Your faith is gold. It's not based on your outward circumstances. God sees your heart, and I just want to honor you for standing. And that's what we do. We just press on. We don't understand everything, but we press on, because there is eternal hope for us, but there is hope down here as well. And Jesus has provided that healing for us. So I just want to bounce off. I had the honor of doing a TV interview recently with somebody who's going to become a pastor at C3 Prospect in the coming months, Guy Steen. He has a television show on Vision TV. And at the end he goes, okay, what are your top three tips for healing? I went, oh, that's a good question. But it has a way of distilling the massive information down to 3 points. You know, your classic Pentecostal message. So that's what I thought I would share today. And it's basically what I would do if sickness comes against me. And I know I've put it into practice. I know it works. And there is just, it's doable. There's an ease. Faith is a rest. It's not a hard work. We're not trying to get healed. It's a rest in what Jesus has already done. And so I want to share those 3 points. But it's good to bounce off scripture. Agree with me? I know you're well versed in it. So Matthew 8, this is one of my favorite people in scripture. It says now, 8:5-10, says now when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. You know, there are only two places in scripture where it says Jesus marveled. People marveled at God, marveled at him all the time. They marveled when people were healed. They marveled when people were raised from the dead. It means to be in awe, in wonder. But two places in scripture where Jesus marveled. The first was in his hometown of Nazareth, where he marveled that they didn't believe. But we're not that crew. So we can put that crew aside. But here, as far as I can see, is the only person in scripture where God marveled at a man. Jesus was in awe and wonder at this man. So it's good to look at what was happening here. So a centurion was a leader of at least 100 men. Hudson, army man. Here he was, man of valor. And he was also a leader of the occupying power of Rome over Israel at the time. So he had great authority, great power. He said something, you did it. Now, under Rome at the time, it was the Emperor Augustus who had just brought in, or during his reign had brought in, that all were to declare that Caesar was Lord. And the understanding in that word Lord was to say that he was a deity, a god, and that he was the only connection between mankind and the so-called gods. He was the absolute master, the absolute ruler. So when they declared Caesar is Lord, they were saying, you're God, you are the only connection between man and the gods, there is no one like you. So we can see whose position he's trying to usurp there. And so this is the centurion's understanding of the word Lord. You know, later in that first century, AD 37 under Nero, the Christians would be persecuted on this very point because they refused to say Caesar is Lord, knowing what it meant. So now the centurion has come to Jesus with that understanding that there is one Lord and he's God. And the first word out of his mouth when he looks at Jesus is Lord. He is now acknowledged Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. Jesus is Lord. So a revelation has come to him. And, you know, that revelation comes in pictures. Faith has vision. And it's like it's just popping. He goes, I get it. You're Lord, so you're God, but you're also positioned under God. You're the only connection between God and man. You have absolute authority, so you just have to say a word and my servant will be healed. So I can see because of your authority, you've got power, your word's got power, his faith's gone up, honor, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof. Here he is, a leader of the occupying power. And he's going, I'm not worthy because I can see who you are. He's had a revelation of Jesus. So my first point would be the Holy Spirit moves on the revelation of Jesus. So when we come to this word, we're not coming to try and get something. We don't need to try and get healed. We don't use the promises to get healed. We're already healed. It's a finished work of the cross. We read the word, we study the word to see Jesus. This is a revelation of Jesus. So when we come to Scripture, I'm coming to see him. I'm coming to see what he's done. Coming to see who I am in light of what he's done. And so it changes your approach. So I would, if I was needing healing, I would come to the Lord. In fact, I do this most days in my prayer time, not necessarily around healing. I just come. The Holy Spirit, open my eyes today. Help me to see Jesus. I need to see him. I don't need to get something from him. I don't need to convince him to do things for me. He's already given me all things pertaining to life and godliness. I need to do a lot less asking and throw out the shopping list. What I really need is to see him. Because with the Holy Spirit who brings that revelation, by association, by his nature, is the same one who brings the power of God. So as soon as you glimpse Jesus, the power of God is there. Faith rises, honor rises. You start to see God's perspective. It shifts you. You automatically start to walk differently because you've seen something. In Ephesians 1:17, the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesian church. Great prayer. I often pray this in my prayer time. 17 down to 20, I read, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's to know him. Not just what do I want today, what do I want from him, to know him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's like your spirit, your eyes of your understanding. It's your spirit that you'll get revelation in your spirit that you will see. That you may know the hope of his calling. Sorry, what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what are the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So Paul prays, he goes, pray that you'll see three things. The hope of your calling, your salvation. The riches of his glory, his inheritance in the saints. You'll see what he's given you, what he's done for you. And then you'll see the exceeding greatness of his power that is available to us as believers. And then he gives a comparison of what that power is. It's the same power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Now he died in our place, taking all our sin, all our judgment, all sickness, all pain, all the curse, every weakness, every distress that we would ever go through, grief, everything that would rob our peace. He took it all upon himself on the cross. So the power to break that and raise him from the dead, having absolute victory, is the power, Paul says, I'm praying that you will get it. This is the same power made available to you. He goes, I pray you'll see it. That is more than enough power to get you healed. So we're not trying to get healed, we're trying to see it. And once we see it, the power is there. If we look at that first point that Paul mentioned, what is the hope of your calling? That's your salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but when I walked into the church, the day I received Christ, I knew nothing. I had no, real background of understanding. I didn't get it all. I had a tiny glimpse that day. I think this is the truth. I think Jesus is the way. That was it. It's not the whole picture. It's not all the learning. But that glimpse was enough for the power of God to come, as he did for you. He takes out the heart of stone. He replaces it with a heart of flesh. He forgives all sin. He connects you to his Father in heaven. You are given the gift of eternal life. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. And all of that from one tiny glimpse, not the whole picture. Something that would bring faith and shift your whole course of my life and probably your life. In a moment in time, just because we saw something. And we can do that every day in our prayer life. God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. You won't see everything. Maybe there are some days you don't see anything. That's all right, because you'll be back the next day. God, open my eyes. So I come to him and I just, in my prayer time, slow it down, meditate on the scriptures. So Christian meditation, not like Eastern meditation, we're not emptying our mind, we are filling it with the word of God. It literally means to ponder or think while speaking to oneself or imagine. So you think about it. You're speaking it out. Faith's coming by hearing. You're imagining, you're picturing it. So I'll take the scriptures. So if it's healing, which we're talking about today, I'll get the healing scriptures and I'll think about them. Think about Jesus on the cross. I go to the cross every day and I look to him and go, that's what he did for me. It's not on me, it's on him. That's what I did in my healing journey originally. Like, it's not on me. I don't care what these medical reports are saying, and they weren't good, but it's not on me. It's on him. I can see it. I can see it on him. And eventually my body caught up with what I saw. You see him raised from the dead. That thing's power of that thing is broken off my life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free from this sickness. I'm free. I'm not having it. And so just meditating on that and speaking the word and come before him. The next point, which is very similar, the Holy Spirit moves on the word of God. So he moves on the revelation of Jesus and he moves on the word of God. Now that's tricky because this is the revelation of Jesus. It's one and the same thing, but I have separated it for discussion of points. But he moves on the word of God. Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Well, the NIV says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. He recognized that because of who Jesus is, his word has power. In Hebrews 1:3, says, speaking of Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds everything by the word of his power. And I look through all the different versions and you know what? It doesn't say he upholds all things by the power of his word, which would suggest that his word has power. It does. Doesn't say that though. He upholds all things by the word of his power, meaning his word doesn't just have power, it is his power. Just like God doesn't just have love, he is love. It's another dimension. The word of God is his power. So here, next to our bed, on the table before us, with all the challenges we face in life, we have been given access to the power of God to bring to pass everything that we will ever need in this life for life and godliness, including healing. He just happens to wrap all that power up in a seed. The word of God is described as seed, an eternal seed. The DNA is in every scripture to bring itself to pass. The power is released when we apply faith to it. So this has all the power that we will ever need. But we partner with God in faith. So we receive the seed that's planting it. We accept it. We believe it. We look after the seed. Sometimes we're wanting God to do our bit, but we look after the seed. I've taken up gardening the last 2 years. My mother was an extraordinary gardener. And for some reason, I don't know if it's our age, we were talking about, we took up birds 2 years ago, you know, bird watching. I don't know what it is. I've taken up gardening. I'm loving it. But I'm just getting so many messages out of the garden. And when you put the seed in the ground, you've got to look after that thing. That's our part. So we root out the doubt, the deception, the discouragement. We take the rocks of unbelief out. God doesn't do that bit. That's our bit. We get the clutter out. We make sure it's not choked by the things of this world. And we water it. And the way we water it is we speak the word. You know, it's no use putting a seed in the ground, watering it a couple of times, going, oh, that didn't work. No, you keep watering it. In fact, I've come to the realization that when God gives us a revelation, it is a stewardship for life. We are called to steward that revelation, to take care of it, to keep speaking it, to see its release into the earth, not just for ourselves, but for those that we will minister to along the way. It is a responsibility, a stewardship. You know, years ago when I was healed from that illness, I was able to have two magnificent children, my eldest here, Annalise, the great miracle, son Michael. And but I was healed from the illness that I'd had at the same time. And then years later, probably 10 years later, I'd kind of just stopped meditating on the healing scriptures as much because I thought I was getting a bit unbalanced being in the same area all the time. And I found the symptoms started coming back on my body. And the Lord corrected me and he says, you will have to do this the rest of your days. It is a stewardship. You can't just have a plant in the garden and then go, okay, well, it's established now. I'll never water it again. You look after it for life. And so as soon as I got back in the word, symptoms went again. And so we've got to keep speaking the word of God. It contains the power of God. And so, you know, when we pray, which we do, and I like praying for big things, you know, pray for big trees, God gives you the seed. And so we've got to look after that. And we keep speaking that word, and the word has power. When God created the heavens and the earth, back in Genesis, it says the earth, there was darkness. It was void, dark, empty. Darkness on the face of the deep. Sometimes we can feel our lives look like that. It's looking a bit dark, looks a bit empty. But God spoke. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters, but he didn't move until God spoke. And as soon as the word was released, the Holy Spirit moved to bring that word to pass. You know, that first word, let there be light, is still creating to this day. The universe is still expanding at the speed of light, which is, I don't know about you, that just does my head in, to even try and imagine that over, I'm not sure what year it was spoken, but the fact is that word is still producing. That's the power of the word of God. And then God created us in his image. So our words have power. But we have life and death in the power of the tongue because of the fall. So we've got to watch. We're speaking life. We're speaking scripture. And so when God doesn't just do things for us, he gives us the seed, we speak it, and it is in alignment with him. It's not blab it and grab it. We're not trying to make it happen. Or the criticism that comes against faith, oh, it's just blab it and grab it. You think you can just speak it and it'll happen. Well, this is how God releases his will. We're his children. This is one of his ways. So we're not just out there on the outer doing our own thing, our own ways, praying for God to do miracles. We align with him to his ways. His way is the Holy Spirit moves on the word of God. And so when we align with him, it is obedience. And then the Holy Spirit moves to bring God's will not only into our lives, but beyond us to those who we'll reach out to. So the Holy Spirit moves on the word. So when you're praying for other people, speak scripture. Don't just come and go, oh, Lord, you know how faithful they are. You know, such a good person. I think you should heal them. We don't come that way. We come, no, thank you, Lord, you've already provided healing. In the name of Jesus, we command healing into this body and we speak scripture. Pray scripture, declare scripture, speak scripture. I love that revelation that the centurion had about authority. He goes, well, I just say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. Well, I use that in ministering healing. I'm telling sickness to go in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling healing to come and speaking the word, telling the body, do this, and it will do it. You have authority under Christ as he had it under the Father when he was here on earth. So in the authority that you've been given, speak scripture. You don't know what to pray for someone, pray scripture. Because the Holy Spirit, he's moving on the word, not our earnest sentiments. He moves on the word of God. So he moves on the revelation of Jesus. He moves on the word of God. The third one, he moves as we wait on him. That we give him time. I find it takes time. It takes time waiting in his presence. Now, I don't know about you, but I love immediate healings. Now, I was reading through Mark one time. I'm going, I love this. Everything's immediate. Jesus immediately went there. They immediately got healed. And it's just like, I go, I love this. I want this revelation of immediate. I want everything immediate. And I realized as I was just praying for immediate, for everything, that when they came to Jesus, Colossians says, in him all the fullness of God dwells bodily. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. So the Holy Spirit's still omnipresent. He's still everywhere. But when Jesus came, all the fullness of God was in him. They were coming to a measure of the anointing that we probably haven't even experienced. And so for me, my goal is I want to just each day come into a greater measure of the presence of God. That we're not just doing a healing prayer on the fly. Go, oh Lord, please heal me. And he does answer prayers on the fly, but we don't want to make that our habit. That we will come into his presence and we sit in his presence. And the Holy Spirit does what I call the divine transfer. John 16, he says he takes of what is Jesus and he declares it to us. And so as we wait on him, you find he just starts doing stuff. You don't have to articulate it to him. He doesn't need instructions. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't like, I need you to do this, this, and this. He doesn't need that. He knows. He actually knows everything. What he needs is for us to just come and wait. We have this ministry that my husband Rich and I are involved in called Freedom Ministry. It's bringing healing people's spirit, soul, and body. People, you know, just hit obstacles in life, haven't been able to progress, sicknesses that just haven't really seen a breakthrough in. And we have simplified it down so much to where we just bring people before the cross now and go, just wait before the cross. Spend time just contemplating Jesus and what he's done for you. And then we pray, and we pray scripture over them, but then we just get them to wait. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit does what only he can do. I'm just in awe. People come out and they go, well, I was healed and never had that problem again. That addiction was broken off. The depression went. We didn't do anything. They waited in his presence. And as you do that, things that you struggle with loosen until they're completely gone. Sickness starts to abate. Healing comes. He does the transfer with the cross. We know the finished work of the cross, but we need it in our experience. We need to live it. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to rush him. We want to give him time. We want to come daily. My pursuit is I just want to come into the presence of God a little bit more, go a little bit deeper today. And what he does in those moments is extraordinary. That we don't need to praise so much. We do need to speak the word, but not to ask and to ask, but we come to the Lord Jesus. We meditate on him, contemplate him, look to him, get fresh revelation, fresh manna every day. It might be the same manna, that's okay, but we want it fresh each day. I've been in Isaiah 53 for the last 36 years. I come before with communion, love communion, Isaiah 53, and I just sit there and it's fresh every time. There's always something new. Meditate on what Jesus did for us on the cross. Then we speak the word, we pray the word, and then we just wait. So there is an ease to this whole process of receiving healing, really taking us out of it a lot and bringing the Lord in. So I hope that helps. Hope that makes a difference. But yeah, just 3 points. The Holy Spirit moves on the revelation of Jesus. He moves on the word of God, and he moves as we wait on him. One last scripture, if I could have the band to join me again. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You know, this word's described as a mirror that we look into, where we see the image of Jesus and we see the image that we're meant to be conformed to. We're beholding him and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Effortless process as we wait on him, we behold him, we look into the word, and then the Holy Spirit does his work, taking us from glory to glory as we just wait in his beautiful presence. So I'm going to ask you if we can all just close our eyes. And if we could just do this for a moment. Close your eyes and just look to Jesus. If this is all new to you, I bet you just look to him on the cross. Jesus paid that price for all of us. We couldn't come to God as we were. We couldn't come with sin. We had no hope. It's not about us being good enough, because none of us are. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. So Jesus came, God in the flesh, and all our sin, all our punishment was placed upon him. One glimpse of that is enough to work a miracle in your life, to reconnect you with God, to bring his forgiveness, to bring connection, and to give you a brand new life and a promise of eternity with him in heaven that can come no other way. It can't come by another religion, can't come by any works that we do. Jesus is the only way. But as he hung on that cross, do you're struggling with sickness, he also took that sickness upon the cross. I want you to see it there. He took the pain, he took the grief, all the distress, those things that are robbing your peace, he took it. I want you to see it on him. And his work has broken their power off your life. His resurrection means that you're free from them. And the Holy Spirit, I'm believing, will work that into your everyday life, into your experience as we wait on him here. The people here, somebody with sinus conditions or vertigo, dizziness, if you could just lift your hand, I'm not calling you out, just thank you. Someone with tinnitus, thank you. I just really believe that the Lord is bringing healing to those right now. Thank you, Lord God, for your healing grace filling each one right now. Those sinuses are cleared. I command them to be cleared in Jesus' name. I declare that by Jesus' stripes you have been healed. I command all vertigo to go, for balance to come into your vestibular system, balance to come. There is an evening out. Or the tinnitus, that ringing, it goes now. I command it to stop. I command it to stop in Jesus' name. I take authority over it. Your power is broken. Offer right now in Jesus' name. It goes. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring that healing power of the cross into each one's experience right now. Healing flows. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I mentioned if this is all new to you, if you don't feel that you have a relationship with Jesus, you haven't made a decision to receive him as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you received him but you walked away, and you would like to receive him today, I could just ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you and call you out. We're just going to pray, and we're going to pray together. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else like to join this couple? Thank you. See that? Thank you. I'm just going to wait a moment. Three precious people already. Anybody else? Okay, we're all going to pray together. Keep your eyes closed. And for those people who raised their hands, I want you to pray this from the depths of your heart, because this day is going to change everything. This moment is going to change everything for you. And Lord Jesus, we'll all pray together. We're standing with them. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and taking my sins, sicknesses, affliction, and suffering in my place, so I can be forgiven, healed, and set free. I receive your precious gift of salvation now. Father, I ask you to receive me, forgive me, and heal me based on what Jesus did for me. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit and your healing power. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see all that Jesus has given me, and help me to follow him all of my days. In Jesus' mighty name. Mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, let's give it up for Jesus. So thankful to Him. Thank you. And thank you for those precious people who just raised their hands. Somebody's going to come along and have a chat with you. They're not scary. They just, we need community. We need help in walking this out. And so if somebody doesn't find you, please come and chat to one of the team or come and chat to myself. We would love to meet with you. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Pastors Chris and Ruth.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.